the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Say hello to Jim Schwartz. Jim, you're on with Jim Miller, Pat Kerwin, Moving the Chains, SiriusXM, NFL Radio. Good to talk to you again, Coach. How's it going today?
Yeah, a little bit later than normal, but seems weird.
It does seem weird, but thank you for joining us anyway, Jim. A quick review of last week, as you saw it, and then we'll move quickly on to this challenging Seattle team that's coming to your house.
Well, the biggest thing is turnovers. We had four turnovers in the game, three of them in the red zone, you know, two of them inside the five-yard line, three non-scores in the red zone, and, you know, the other fumble came on a punt, which was a big chunk of yards that led to a field goal after our defense had gone out and gotten a stop on the first series of the second half. And, you know, when you're playing a tough Bears team on the road, Monday night game, I mean, that's not a very good system to come out ahead. And we paid the price for it. Team fought really hard, played real aggressively, and, you know, battled all the way. But, you know, those mistakes are very critical in this league. And it's very difficult to win when you turn it over like that.
Coach, it's amazing because, you know, just talking to you last week, it's everything you wanted to avoid. You started from behind. You didn't want the Bears defense to start swarming, and you just continue to fight. You continue to battle, and you're right there. The game's right there for your football team. I mean, from that standpoint, everything that you talked about, and it wasn't unfolding how you wanted to get off to a fast start, but, you know, you're fighting, like I said, you're right there in the ball game.
Yeah, you know, we certainly take no solace in that. I mean, we aspire to win the games, but you know, I think that, you know, we recognize that it's very difficult to play catch up against a Bears team. Our defense held us in the game. Our offense moved the ball. You know, we didn't. It wasn't always easy going. We knew that was going to be the case. Bears are outstanding defense. But there were just too many plays that we left on the field. We didn't make them. And, you know, you can go back to our first third down in the game. You know, yeah. Matt moves a little bit in the pocket. You know, he puts a ball right on Calvin. Calvin makes that catch 99 out of 100 times and probably breaks a tackle and scores a touchdown. We've seen him do that. And, you know, he dropped that ball and we started off with a punt, you know, and there were just a couple other incidents of things like that that, you know, over the course of 16 games, Calvin's going to make that play, you know, just about every single time. Unfortunately, it was one of those times that that he didn't.
Nate Burleson's gone. We all know that. I thought he's a pretty valuable and important player on the backside of Calvin, and savvy veteran guy, understands his role. Didn't have a big ego, understood what he was probably going to see a lot more than not, and I thought he was valuable for you. How do we replace him for the Lion fans?
Well, you're right. Nate was having an outstanding season. You know, he's a veteran player, but was having probably the best season he's had in the 3 years he's been here. We don't replace Nate with one guy. We can replace him on the field. Titus Young will get more opportunities in our two tight end package. You know, Tony Scheffler can take some slot position, and he's good at doing that, and we use him in that role. And then Ryan Broyles, our rookie, can step in and play the slot also. So it'll go to all three of those guys, each taking a piece of what Nate brought. The biggest thing with Nate is Nate outstanding in the locker room, outstanding spirit, just a guy that's passionate about playing, a true professional, very, very well respected. And, you know, when he gets back on his feet, he'll stay with the team, and his leadership will still be around. But it's a great opportunity for those other guys. Titus Young and Broyles both had a bit of, you know, sort of breakout games for them in the second half of the game when Nate went down. You know, Titus made a couple of really big catches, gained some nice chunks, and Broyles had his first catch as a pro and also his first touchdown as a pro. So we're in good hands with those guys. We have pretty good depth there. It hurts our depth a little bit, but those other guys are certainly capable of picking up the slack.
Well, Coach, it's pretty amazing about Ryan Broyles because you've talked about him numerous times. Despite the major knee injury he had coming out of college, and you've been slow in bringing him back as an organization. I mean, I guess where is the learning curve for him and where he's at right now, because his role will probably increase with some opportunities?
Well, there's definitely a learning curve in the NFL. He's a smart player. He played a lot of college football. You know, he's the all-time leading receiver in the history of college football. So he's certainly not a guy that was lacking in college experience or football experience, but NFL's a different game. You know, even in training camp, preseason games, you know, we put him in a couple preseason games where he was only going to play a half a dozen snaps, and we tried to take it slow with him, recognize him where he was with his knee injury. Every time we put him in the game, he made catches. He was just that guy. You throw him the ball, he catches it. He's just got a good feel for that inside slot position, good feel for getting open, and he's very reliable. So since the bye week, I think we've seen a big, big increase physically from Ryan Broyles. It's tough to go through training camp, particularly, you know, if you're healthy, much less coming off an ACL. So the week off definitely helped him. You know, he doesn't even run with a sleeve anymore on his knee. And I think, you know, it's time to see the reasons that we drafted him. It's time to see, you know, the reasons that he's the all-time leading receiver in college football. So he can definitely give us a boost. And like I said, all three of those guys, Titus, Ryan Broyles, and Tony Scheffler, can all fill in for Nate.
I love talking to defensive guys when this kind of question's on my mind. In comes Marshawn Lynch. The guy, I think he's still leading the NFL in yards after contact. The plan to tackle this guy just, you know, he's almost like a linebacker with a football in his hand the way he plays. Your observation of him as you watch the tape, and then, you know, your counsel to your defensive players about this. You're a tremendous, you gave up one rushing touchdown so far, so you got a great group in the room. This guy's a challenge for anybody.
Yeah, he's tough, angry runner, like you said, a physical runner. I think the biggest thing is he fits very well with the run game that that they're asking him to do. He's a one-cut runner, gets those shoulders north-south, and then, you know, and then he's looking for contact and running through contact. But he's got very, very good instincts for that zone scheme, one of the best that I've seen. You know, if there's a crack in your line, he's going to find it. One guy gets cut out of their gap, he's going to find it. He's really, really instinctive in there, and he runs well. It's going to be one of those situations. The way they run their zone scheme, it's not one person, you know, stopping him. It's team defense. If one person breaks down, then everybody can look bad. So we got to do a good job of staying in our gaps. We're going to have to gang tackle him. He's certainly a challenge for us, and it's been that way since the beginning of the year. You know, we started off with Steven Jackson in the opener, Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson, Chris Johnson, yeah. Matt Forte. I mean, every week there's a great running back, and this is no exception. I think, Pat, the thing that he does the best is he fits what they're asking him to do, and the results are showing on the field.
Joined by the head coach of the Detroit Lions, Jim Schwartz, on Moving the Chain, SiriusXM NFL Radio, as he gets his 2-4 Detroit Lions prepared to take on the Seattle Seahawks this weekend. And, Coach, it seems like Seattle, almost like your team, feel very comfortable in tight ball games. You know,
they've won four of them, and we've only won two. But I think there are similarities. I mean, they had a three-score win against Dallas. Every other one of their games has come right down to the end. They've won a couple of them in the last minute of the game. You know, that's a nice, you know, sort of feather in the cap of a rookie quarterback to be able to lead teams back and win in the last minute of the game. But we're certainly used to playing those games, and, you know, we just need to find a way to make one more play. The games that we've made that play, we've won. The other games, we haven't. And they found a way to make a couple of those games. Like I said, their only game that's been, you know, a three-score game was Dallas.
An unusual secondary coming to town in size and everything else, and I'm familiar with a couple of them. They were on our camp tour this year. So, you know, until you stand in front of them, you just don't really understand. I didn't anyway, how darn big they are. And you know, the cynic was, that big guy can't turn and run. They're pretty good at that stuff. You've got big receivers. This is going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, they're like a junior college basketball team out there. 6'4", 6'2", Chancellor, 6'3". I mean, and all of them got long arms. I think the biggest thing is it's very difficult to have the skill set required to play corner in the NFL and have to flip and run against world-class athletes and things like that, and also be tall. You know, there's a center of gravity issue and things like that, and these guys, it shows you how good athletes they are. They're able to accomplish it even though they're 6'4" and 6'2". So they also sort of box guys out. You know, makes it difficult to get the ball over top of them because they play inside of receivers, and you run out of room trying to throw over top. It cuts the window down significantly. So there's definitely an advantage to having height. And that's going to be a big matchup in this game, our outside receivers against them. They play them in press. They play a lot of single high defense, you know, which means cover one or cover three. And the matchup of wide receivers versus corners is big, and that's one of the reasons their success this year is their corners have been able to live out there on that island and make plays for them.
Well, Coach, I thought your secondary did a tremendous job against Chicago, especially contesting down in the red zone. I know Marshall got that little slide naked, but whether it was Houston contesting some quick slant routes, I know Amari Spivey got more playtime, and even Jonte Green in there a little bit. I mean, tell us how you feel you're progressing in the second part of your defense back there.
Well, we've, you know, you don't want to give up a touchdown, particularly on the first series of game. You know, we had a couple plays in there. We had a chance to get Cutler down, and he was able to scramble away and get a big chunk. And then Forte cracked through there and got a nice chunk, and then followed that right up with a little boot play, and Marshall was in the end zone. But after that, defense in the NFL is, you know, is a challenge every single week, or every single series. You got to keep teams out of the end zone, and our defense was able to do that after that, holding the field goals a couple times, throw them out of field goal range, you know, blocked a field goal on another attempt. So, you know, I think they did a pretty good job. I mean, Marshall, we knew was they were going to try to get the ball to Brandon Marshall. We limited his catches. You never really shut a guy like that down. But we limited his catches, tried to limit the big plays. You know, I thought those guys did some good things. Jonte Green was, you know, starting his first game in the NFL, and I think he represented himself very well.
Last one for me, Jimmy. Anyone you're sweating this week and you're hoping that you might even have to work them out Sunday morning or any of that business that you feel like they're close but we're not sure yet?
Yeah, we got a bunch of, you know, just like anybody else, middle of the season. You're going to have a bunch of guys that will probably go up to game time. We had signed a couple corners last week. Those other guys are getting healthier. We'll just see where those guys go. We have a couple guys coming back from concussions. You know, and again, that's sort of out of our hands. We just wait, and when the doctors say okay, then we put them back on the field. But no different than anybody else. Everybody's in the same boat. The guys that will be on our 46 will be ready, and it'll be good to be back home. We played four out of our first six on the road, including two late, you know, games Sunday night and a Monday night. And those are difficult travel days, difficult to bounce back from. But, you know, what we'll start doing is get more games at home, and that can play to our advantage. Ford Field can be a tough place to play. And, you know, if you're going to get Seattle, a good place to get them is at home. They're very tough at, you know, in Seattle. So I think that our players will definitely look forward to being at home this week.
Absolutely.
Great stuff as per usual, Coach. Good luck to you this weekend, and thanks for joining us on the show.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care, Jim. Have a great week.